heroes of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Okay, today, a couple things we're going to do. Donna, raise the camera a little bit. Yeah, one thing I'm going to do is, first off, at the top of the second hour, we're going to go 2 hours and make sure that we have a complete understanding of not just Bitcoin, but the ability to make sure that Bitcoin is able to transition from cash, Federal Reserve notes, to Bitcoin and back again. Once that is taken care of, once we have the ability to just transition back and forth, all of a sudden it becomes a currency, an effective currency around the planet. And we want to make sure that this transition goes well. Now, there's another thing is I believe that, you know, I had it defined for me that money is gold and silver, but why? I mean, it's a store of value. It's something where you keep your money. Where you keep your money? Where you keep your value? Where you keep your wealth? You know, something I can hold, preferably. So we have an opportunity here to make the transition not just between Federal Reserve notes and such, but between gold and silver and Bitcoin. So when you make the transition, cash don't, Federal Reserve notes, that's going to be, you still have Federal Reserve notes. And this has happened many times. It's happened here in America. I mean, it's not worth a continental. Well, what that meant was during the Revolutionary War, they just printed up a bunch of continental, called them the Continentals. And they weren't worth nothing. They just kept printing them. But the Constitution, what they did is said gold and silver is going to be the only gold and silver. But during that time, what happened, Art Hamilton and all his buddies were buying up all these continentals, pennies on the dollar, because they knew when they got the Constitution ratified, it would guarantee all the past debts. So what they had done is they'd go buy up continentals for a nickel or something, and then all of a sudden, the U.S. government made them good face value, full faith and credit of, and you go turn them, and they made a bunch of money on this. One of the reasons why they wanted to keep the Constitutional Convention secret. It was a money thing. Art Hamilton wanted to have this, American Central Bank thing. His father-in-law was, merchant in New York and had buddies the Bank of London kind of deal. If you learn the real history, you find out it's always follow the money. So what we're doing now is we're going to be talking to Eric Voorhees, and we're going to have Richard Lambertus from Liberty Precious Metals here in Scottsdale, and I wanted to have them both together because I wanted to go ahead and make this transition. If we can have, certainly for me, and then a lot of our readers and supporters and Levolutionaries here in Arizona and so on, if we can understand Bitcoin and the services of BitInstant and have a transition between that and precious metals and cash, and, for the time that anybody cares, all of a sudden, man, Bitcoin has some value. Now, Richard has offered to listen and participate in this discussion because what I found out is last week when we were talking is that there is another coin dealer or bullion guys that are already taking bitcoins in exchange for precious metals, and they get their precious metals from Liberty. And he's going, hey, man, they buy a lot of precious metals from us, and they do this. We can do it, or at least I'll talk about it. You know, so let's go ahead and do that. I want to make sure that we have an understanding of what's going on here. Now, let's go ahead and do a sound check here. Richard, I got you there?
You sure do.
Okay, we got Richard. Eric, I got you?
Yep, you hear me?
Okay, let's go ahead and turn you up a little bit. Okay, Eric?
Yep.
All right, here we go. Now, Eric, let's go ahead and have you explain in this in a few minutes we got in this first segment here. I want you to go ahead and explain. Now, Richard is familiar with this because the organization that has been working with y'all or has as willing to exchange bitcoins for gold and silver, we'll find out how that works, is actually getting some of that from Richard. You know, so he's aware of it. He's like, hey, man, you know, I can do this, you know, or at least learn about it. So why don't we go ahead and start from there and correct anything that I misstated and explain it to the audience. Go.
Okay, so, yeah, some of the audience have heard about Bitcoin, but it's a digital currency. And many people like to use gold and silver. And so, you know, obviously, if there's a market where people can purchase gold and silver bullion for Bitcoin and or sell it back, then that creates an interesting way to route around the U.S. dollar entirely. So Coinable is probably the largest store currently where you can buy Bitcoin and silver, or sorry, gold and silver with Bitcoin. And they've been doing fairly well so far. I've gotten a few pieces from them. And I think more and more merchants will find out that it's actually quite easy to take Bitcoin and why not, you know, allow that as a means of payment.
Okay, now let's go ahead. Now we have up on the screen, those on video, we have up on the screen right now a picture of a wallet, okay? This is the, you know, my Bitcoin wallet on my smartphone now that Drew helped me set up. So I'm looking at this and I'm going, okay. And one thing that kind of scares me a little bit is that when I open it up to do the show, I was like, all right, let's pull up the Bitcoin wallet and everything, BitInstant and all this other stuff, and I'm going, it's a little easy. I mean, so if somebody got my phone, they could, you know, start passing. I mean, it's like they would actually, it's a wallet. I mean, they actually got my cash in their hand, right?
Yep.
So that's, I need to put a, you know, like a biker chain on my wallet. You know what I mean? All right.
Well, yeah, I mean, you just as you wouldn't store your life savings in your physical wallet in your pocket, you wouldn't store all your Bitcoins on your phone.
Okay, so now I would have separate accounts, or I can have it in delineated accounts. So much goes on my phone, so much goes on. So I have to have like a separate account, right?
Yeah, you can make as many accounts as you want, and you can make some of them very safe and protected and hard to get to. And other ones you can have less money in, but have them be more convenient.
All right, cool. Well, I got to be setting that up. So, you know, I got my, you know, like two Bitcoins on here for testing. I'm ready to go ahead and make a deposit. Now, we'll get into that later. But what I want to talk about is, let's talk about Coinable, and this is what happens. Now, you know, Richard, as a businessman, you know, went and saw his facility last week in Scottsdale there. Very nice. You go in, it's got all these televisions in there, has exactly what they're buying and selling gold and silver at and so on. But they, of course, they don't have anything saying Bitcoin. Anybody going in there, heck, it's amazing they know enough they even go get gold and silver, much less you start talking Bitcoin. So this would be a niche market for them. Who is that market?
Well, the market is the growing number of people who use Bitcoin or earn money, earn salaries in Bitcoin.
Salaries? Really?
Yeah, I mean, I earn my salary in Bitcoin. So if there is a way for me to purchase bullion directly without converting into dollars in between, then obviously that makes things a lot more convenient for me. And more people around the world will be in that category. But it takes time.
You know, that is a good point. This is, you know, I tell you what, you know, it's not, it's timing. You know, it's not anything else really than who's there first at the right time. You know, and I want to make sure that we're talking about whatever risks there might be. You know, is there a problem? I mean, you know, I don't know. We're going to find out. You can start small. Is there legal ramifications? Are they going to make an example out of somebody? You know, we'll talk about it.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Yeah, or banks, or, you know, the man, or all kinds. I mean, it's different. You know, that where we're going, that, you know, I remember Barry Hess always said this. He goes, yeah, we're in kind of this Vuja Day moment. We haven't been here before. You know, I'm going, okay. So this is one thing that I'll preface it with this. At the top of the second hour, we're going to take that top segment. We're going to have Cody Wilson on from Defense Distributed, you know, Wiki Weapon, the guy that is printing AR lowers. Now, you print your own gun. I mean, heck, you can do even more than the lower. But the point that he was making is I can print it. All of a sudden, the BATF, man, did he make it to their list. The printer that he was leasing, a big, large, gazillion-dollar printer from a company, they delivered it. Then all of a sudden, they sent him a letter, said, we're picking it up. Hell no, we want it back. They didn't want to have anything to do with them printing, and probably them that turned them into the BATF and said, you know, go get them. And it's all that lawyer, whatever, you know, liberal something. So what happened was, I'm going, okay, he goes in Texas, I think it was Austin or where it was, he goes into the BATF office yesterday, and he's like, all right, well, I need a class whatever, you know, what is this, am I supposed to get, class one, class two, class, you know, I mean, what kind of thing, a manufacturer, and I need to be able to, you know, do this and be legal, because there are certain things that you can make your own machine gun at home. I mean, you do it for yourself, you can make your own gun, unless it's not detectable by magnetometers, metal detectors, okay? So you go in, and it's like, you know, it's not, and it has certain other criteria. They don't know. You know, the guy, you say, yeah, we got your name here. Ooh, come in the back, and let's have a talk. I go, did you go without an attorney? I mean, you know, you just want to, oh, man, if you learn nothing. So anyway, so he has a long talk with them, and they're like, yeah, whatever, seems cool, and, you know, you don't have fangs, and you're not dragging knuckles or anything, so, you know, peace. But they'll do whatever they're told. They make that clear. Hey, man, we're just employees and the man. You know, and when they tell us to go take a look and we're going to this or shut down or stop or do or what. So he's going through all this process. He's raised the money. You know, now he doesn't have the printer. He's scrambling. He's got to get another printer. So it looks like he's got that taken care of. But it's just anybody that touches this thing is going to be, you're able to just print your own firearm. Man, it's all over now. Well, Bitcoin is exactly the same kind of, even more of an empowerment of the individual to get off of their grid. So I'm going, okay, I ask Eric, is there a equivalent of the BATF saying, oh, no, you're not allowed to what? Is there a law? Well, it doesn't matter. We don't care if there's a law, we're making law. And I remember the IRS saying the same thing. There was when people were going really hammering on a lot of the, hey, man, you know, even the IRS code doesn't even say that this is income, it doesn't do this, or, you know, you're wrong, this is not right. And they go, well, what do you say to that? An IRS commissioner, he went on, I think it was in L.A., and he went up and he said very, very clearly, he goes, our answer is going to be with enforcement. You know what our answer is? It's going to be a gun in your face. That's our answer. And I'm going, wow, man, these guys, there's no humor in it. So I want to, you know, I don't want to take, you know, a new sponsor and a friend and someone that's, you know, starting to service our community here and went to parties and has got to meet all the revolutionaries and kind of, you know, and all of a sudden we're going to throw them into the wolves on this Bitcoin thing and put them on the radar screen. Not like, you know, precious metals aren't on radar screens already. So, Eric, that is a risk that I want to examine. Is there some agency or something that's going to go and visit Coinable or Liberty and say, you know, what you doing?
Right. Okay. So, first of all, as long as you're paying taxes on the money that you're earning, you can receive payment in any form whatsoever. If a merchant wants to accept gold or dollars or, you know, children's toys as payment, as long as they're paying tax on that, then the government's going to be fine with it. So in that way, it's no different from just taking cash and voluntarily, you know, claiming how much you're earning and then paying taxes on those things.
Okay, so let me go ahead and make this point right there. When you say taxes, what do they like? They like having a bank account that they can see how, you know, the FBI goes in and they say, you know what, or FDIC or SEC, you know, whoever. And they say, you know what, we the government man. And we know that you had this much money. These were the transactions. This is how much, you know, but when you start doing Bitcoin, I mean, that's all voluntary. You have to give that up. You have to say, you know what, I have X. I mean, how much are you going to have to turn over your Bitcoin account to the man in order to say they think you're in compliance?
Well, there's a caveat here, which is that a merchant like Coinable who accepts Bitcoin, usually what they're doing is they're automatically converting that into dollars as soon as the transaction happens. So they receive Bitcoin, but in their bank account, they get dollars. So from that perspective, it all looks the same, you know, to the accountant. They just see a bunch of dollars and it's all in the account. If the merchant wanted to hold the Bitcoins themselves and not exchange them for dollars, then yeah, they really would have to voluntarily just claim, you know, how many they received and pay taxes on those.
Wow. Okay. So you're still, I mean, it's just what it is convenience and the anonymity of the actual person purchasing the metals with their Bitcoins.
Yeah. And, you know, the various government agencies have been interested in Bitcoin. They're never interested in merchants who are accepting it. That's really, they don't care about that as long as you're paying your taxes. What they care about is the other issues having to do with money laundering or tax evasion, that kind of thing. And so they speak with companies like mine, which moves money around, because they want to know, you know, if we fall under certain financial categories as a money service business or various things. But a normal merchant doesn't have to worry about that stuff.
Okay, let me ask Richard. Richard, I got precious metals, you know, that I've gotten over the years and various different places. I mean, there's, you know, heck, internet, you know, credit card, checks, cash, walk-in, whatever. And my experience has been, you know, I go in with, you know, less than $5,000 at least, you know, and I go in and I do whatever transaction. I transition from, you know, Federal Reserve notes, gold, silver. Sometimes I'll go in, I sell some, you know, I'll go, ooh, the price done too high. Here, you know, I'm selling all this. I'll come back in a few weeks and buy it back, you know, which is risky. I wouldn't suggest that. But, you know, you do something like that, or I transitioned almost all my gold that I had into silver. I really thought, and at the time that, and I still do, but that silver was manipulated down to your man. Are you kidding me? So I'm buying a bunch of silver. Now, the thing, and, you know, keep a little bit of gold just out of principle, but, you know, the thing that I'm looking at is what is the reporting criteria and how would Bitcoin apply to what you got to rat us out to the man, you know, and how does that work?
Well, the only reporting criteria that we have are $10,000 cash transactions, greater than $10,000 cash transactions. That's it. Everything else is, you know, all the reporting is basically inherent in the way the money is transferred. So,
okay, when we come back, we'll focus. We'll start right off with that, Richard, because, you know, I know it's like, well, it's a $10,000. Yeah, but he came 5 days in a row with $9,999. Didn't you think that? You go, hey, man, you know, it's not my job to be clairvoyant here, you know, and it's not my job to, you know, read somebody's mind. It's not my job to, yes, it is. We just decided it is. I mean, you know, this is important. This is money, man.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, 9-8 from the BEAUT Full Studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. And we have Richard from Liberty Precious Metals, Richard Lambertus. Now, I am willing to go ahead and, you know, plow some new ground here and go get my money, go to Bank of America, here's some cash, and I go ahead and get it deposited into my Bitcoin account via Bit instance service. Now, Bitcoins, they're out there, and you know, you got Bitcoin, we got Bitcoins. That's not the issue here. Bitcoins are all ubiquitous, all ready anyway. But the ability to make the transition from Federal Reserve notes to Bitcoins, okay, well, that's pretty much how it worked. It has some value and trade them at Craigslist, you know. But to be able to make a deposit, right, not just have to go out and buy them from somebody, you know, and there's going to be a percentage charge for that service. I mean, you know, it winds up being, I don't know, be, you know, like American Express charge or something. I mean, you're up to 4% or something. But, you know, I go ahead, we'll do that as an example. I go ahead and make the deposit into my account and pay whatever fee. I get it. Now what do I do with it? I really want to be anonymous and kind of, you know, buy me some precious metals with my coin. You know, what did he do with his money? He bought Bitcoins. What did he do with his Bitcoins? We have no idea, okay? So I go in like it's cash, and I go buy precious metals from Richard. When I do that, he's just going to treat it as cash. It's going to go into some account. He claims it or whatever and so on. I get my precious metals. Now, this, you know, Richard is willing to do this, are you? I mean, you know, I come in, I want to buy stuff from you, and we set up a Bitcoin and get it all ready for you. Is this something you're willing to test?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's give it a shot.
Now, when I do this, you know, I got to ask Eric, when I make this transaction in Bitcoin, who knows about it? I mean, other than Richard, is there something he's got to report? Is there a number he's got to give me yet? You know, which be a coming, I'm sure. But, you know, am I totally anonymous other than, you know, I show up at his counter and get bullion? What?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to his physical store, then he's going to treat it just like as if you paid him with cash. So he's not going to need all sorts of personal information about you. He's just giving you the materials, and you're giving him the Bitcoin payment. Where Bitcoin is a little more interesting is that when you're paying online for something, you can actually do it anonymously. So right now, when you buy something online, you know, whether it's your PayPal account or a credit card, you're giving all sorts of personal identification. With Bitcoin, none of that is attached to you. So you just pay someone online, and you don't have to provide any of it.
Well, how would you, I mean, of course, they would get like an address to ship it or something like that. But I mean, you know, they wouldn't know where the money came from.
Right. If it's a physical item, obviously they're going to need some address to ship it to. It doesn't necessarily have to be your home address. You can be creative with that. But if you're buying anything that's digital or any sort of service that doesn't require an address, then they don't really need any information at all from you.
Now, this can get to the point to where, just like you have a... Let's go ahead and talk about this. I'll give you an example. I remember, you know, I'm old enough to remember when they first started doing ATMs, they called them the ugly teller. You know, I mean, that's how they introduced automatic teller machines. ATMs. You go up and they go, the ugly teller, you know, and you would do your transactions and so on. And you would take your bank card from one machine to another machine. Oh, I'm sorry, you're not on our network. You're not on our bank. You're not. You got to pay an extra fee, or you can't do it, or whatever. Then you had all these services that would kind of overlap, and they took responsibility for you or who you were, and had some kind of contract with that bank to go with this bank. Now it's all one big giant thing, anyway. But you know, I'm looking at the ability when you start putting up here 7-Eleven and Walmart and CVS and MoneyGram. I'm going, man, there's some network service that, you know, is willing to work this out. How in the heck did that come about, and how does that work?
Yeah, so BitInstant has a couple partners, and we work with these partners who already have these payment networks set up. So one partner we use has a payment network set up with the big banks, Bank of America, Chase, Citi, Wells Fargo, and the other payment partner has the network with all the retail locations like Walmart and CVS. And so we partnered with both of them, and that means that our customers can now make these cash deposits at any of those locations and get their Bitcoin.
Now, I can also see that somebody is going to take, when will that be credit or, you know, bank transaction or debit card? And when I go into some place, if I go to any retail outlet, or it's going to get down to, I'm going to go to my, you know, masseuse, or I go to, you know, my gym, or I go to my, you know, whatever, and I say, yep, and it's going to be some kind of, because they're already starting to do it now. You go to Starbucks with your smartphone and bleep, and, you know, and you just paid for your coffee. And right, it's going to get to the point, and using the same technology, that I would imagine that Bitcoin is going to become that currency. And how far away are you from that?
Well, probably a couple of years. I mean, Bitcoin very well works with a phone's like e-wallet. So people who have started to use the Google wallet on their phone, they know that you just put in your credit card information into the wallet and then you can pay with whatever card you want using your phone. So Bitcoin would just be yet another option inside that wallet. So when you're at Starbucks, if Starbucks accepted Bitcoin, then your Google wallet would give you that option and you just pay them like that. So it really works with any of the new technologies.
Okay, why would it be a couple of years? Why not next week?
Well, Starbucks is not going to accept Bitcoin next week. I mean, we're way too far early in the adoption.
No, I'm not talking about their willingness. I'm talking about the technology.
Oh, the technology's been done for a year. I mean, that's not hard. You already have Bitcoin on your phone.
Okay, so it's going to be people like Richard just saying, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah, and it's just going to be a long, slow process of merchants finding out what the benefits are and then taking the first steps to do it. And then, you know, as they start accepting Bitcoin and people see that merchants start accepting it around the world, then people will be more interested in acquiring some in the first place.
Okay, now let me explain it this way. I owned a restaurant. Okay, they come in. Everybody and their grandma wants to sell me my little credit card scanner machine, you know, and the paper with it. So right. They come in and they say, you know, here we're going to have this scanner machine we got here, and it's our service, and blip, 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 and they ask you questions. They go, do you want to take Discover? Do you want to take American Express? Do you want to take, you know, yada, yada, yada? And I'll go, yes, 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 yes. And so we were downtown. We serviced a lot of the businesses and high-rises and so on, delivering pizzas and everything. And we go, yes. But, you know, American Express, man, sometimes there are twice the percentage charge for me as a merchant than the others. I mean, you have to make a decision. Do I really want to do this, or do I charge extra if you use American Express? Which I go, hey, if you use American Express, you know, I charge 2% extra. I mean, there's all kinds of whatever I can do. Now, the thing is, that service to get, you know, do you want Discover? Do you want American Express? Visa, MasterCard, Bitcoin. What is the service that you need to get on when every single new merchant or anyone that has one of those readers, and they say, and they go, do you want to take Bitcoin? And you're going to have, some people go, I got that option, I know what that is. Yeah, hell yeah, man, bring it on, man, let's do it. So I'm wondering, what is the hurdle for you to be on that list of options for merchants?
Well, the companies that run those payment networks would just have to add Bitcoin as a payment option, and they haven't done that because it will destroy all of the fees that they charge. So they will no longer get the 2.9% from each credit card transaction, because with Bitcoin there's no fees. So they don't have an incentive to do it themselves. So that means that some new entrepreneurs have to step up and get these sort of new payment systems into the retail outlet.
Okay, so we get this payment. Now, if they could make money off of it, and it becomes, and they say, hey, we found a way that, you know, we get a little bit of Bitcoin for us, you know, as we do this transaction. It's always about follow the money. I mean, there's some special, you know, self-interest to somebody, you know, and maybe Bit Instant, you know, because as a merchant, I did this. This is how this works. They go in, they say, do you want to get money from these people? Yes, I do. And what way do you want to get it? Anyway.
Before I became a customer of Liberty Coin and Precious Metals, I called one of the internet companies that sells gold. I didn't like the impersonal hard sell or the fact they were in another state. Liberty's different. I could walk in their store, look them in the eye, see, feel, and walk out with what I'd bought. No hidden fees, no hard sell, no mystery, just great prices. And Liberty's one of the biggest gold sellers in the Southwest. Their experts took the time to get to know me and my investment needs. There's so many reasons I'm now a Liberty Coin and Precious Metals customer, but the most important is I trust Liberty. Remember, they're right here in Scottsdale. So drop in or call Liberty Coin and Precious Metals, 877-888-8052. That's 877-888-8052. Or on the web at libertycpm.com. Liberty.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
From what?
I want to break free from your
lies. Lies. You know, this is very, very interesting. We're breaking new ground here. You know, I have a lot of experience being on tip of the spear, you know what I mean? But I don't want to be, fortunately, I have been very lucky throughout all my activism of over 20 years. And the reason that I haven't had problems is that, you know, like I'm doing my, you know, lab, you know, there's a lot, we're making a lot of advances in our little nickel iron battery thing. But one of the things is because the drug war is such a big deal, you can't get some base chemical kind of stuff. Man, it's like, seriously? You got to have a manufacturing license and a manufacturing business address in order to get stuff delivered, or you go to these chemical places for them to get it, and they want chapter and verse on you to do it. And then, you know, some things they can't even get that are simple nickel compounds. And I'm going, seriously? Oh, fine. You know, it's called YouTube. I'll make it myself. But when I start getting all the glassware and so on to make it, oh, then you're a meth lab, okay? So the only way I know to get any of this kind of stuff done is to be extremely open about it. It's like we're gonna put it in the archive. Everybody's going to understand the impetus for it. We're going to understand the process that we went through and why and the motivations and how and what. And then that is our shield. That's what helps. That is why I have, you know, stayed out of jail, okay? And it's why, you know, and of course, I know a lot of the law enforcement guys. I could, yeah, when you guys come banging, you know that it was made up, whatever it was. So I feel pretty comfortable about being very open about this. Now, I'm going out to Fountain Hills, and on my way there, which is like, I don't know, 10 miles east of where Liberty's retail outlet is in Scottsdale, as I'm going out there, I'm going to be passing within, I don't know, 100-200 yards of his location. So I'm going to lunch with some friends. We go out there, Donna and I, with you know, some friends of ours that had a fundraiser last week. We didn't get time to just hang, so we're going to go out there and hang. After I get done with lunch, I can just head right over to Liberty. Now, we had Gabriel on, smart guy, okay? He knows up, man, he can do this, fix it up, and, you know, toot sweet. So we get a Bitcoin account, get it all set up. Now, you want to have it as a businessman. You go, hey, man, I don't want my employees knowing the pat, you know, whatever. But you can just change the password. It goes to Richard. So this is what we can do. And we'll do, you know, a little kind of something, get it going. You know, I'm willing to do me $1,000 of, you know, Bitcoins here. And maybe some of that, you know, going into, you know, some silver. I need to have me a wallet I can start to play with, because I want to get early on this. I've seen this happen before. I'm old enough to see things like this all of a sudden freaking explode. And one of the things that has yet to really explode has been the mad dash into using silver and gold on a regular basis. Whenever I get anything on Craigslist, I always go, hey, do you take silver for that? Donna just sold a bunch of, you know, wood that we had, cabinet stuff that somebody stored and left it with it and kind of just put it on Craigslist. Got a deal, you know, and I didn't do the transaction. Donna did, but if I was there talking, I go, hey, man, you give me silver, I give you a discount. I mean, I always, silver. And you'd be amazed, it's probably about 15% of the time they go, absolutely. You know, we're doing transactions and whatever and getting us some animals and everything. So I'm going, okay, I see this coming. I see, man, it's going to be a freaking nami of going in this Bitcoin. And if you're in precious metals at the same time that all the dollar goes to crap and so on, you are way ahead of the game. Richard understands this. He's willing to give it a try. He trusts me. He trusts Eric. He trusts the community. Yeah, we'll give it a shot. It doesn't look, as long as I treat it like cash, you know, the man's not going to have, you know, we're being up in front and above board, and do they want the revolutionary tar baby on the government? Yeah, maybe not. So this would be a good transition for everybody to do this. So I'm going to go out to the Scottsdale out there, and we're going to have Gabriel, Richard's going to go ahead and call him and see if he's got time to be able to set this all up. And I'll go sit there until we're done with it and make it happen, walk it through for everybody. So that would mean that they are a Bitcoin acceptor in exchange for bullion. Okay, now this is my question. Eric, he does this. Is there any lag time that he has a potential of losing money because of the, I see coming a rapid change in the value of each Bitcoin as he transitions to precious metals? What risks does he have on that way?
Right. So because Bitcoin is its own currency, it floats against all other currencies, just as gold and dollars float against each other. So if you have, if you're holding Bitcoin, the exchange rate is going to change over time. So obviously that's a risk. So if Richard wants to reduce that risk, all he needs to do is sell the Bitcoins that he gets as soon as he gets them for dollars. And then he, since his cost basis is probably denominated in dollars, then he will know that he doesn't have any more exchange rate risk. So because Bitcoin is totally liquid, they can be sold instantly. So it just depends on, you know, if he wants to get rid of the risk entirely or if he's okay holding the Bitcoins.
Well, is there a cost or a fee for him doing it? He's got to factor in some cost. I got Bitcoins. Now I'm going, all right, thank you for the Bitcoins. They're valued at this. Here's your bullion. And at the same time, I want to convert my Bitcoin to dollars. Well, then he's paying his 4% or whatever, right?
If he's selling Bitcoins at one of the exchanges, that'll usually be around 0.5% for that, just to be converted back into dollars.
So we need to, you know, find him an exchange, because the percentage that BitInstant charges is the service to use their network to go from the banking and your 7-Elevens and Walmarts and stuff, right?
Yeah, and that's the service to get normal fiat money into Bitcoin. Richard would be doing the opposite. He's trying to sell his Bitcoins and get fiat money. So he wouldn't use us necessarily for that. He would use an exchange, sell the Bitcoins there, then he'd have dollars, and then he'd just transfer those to his bank account.
So Bitcoins are liquid. When he's got them, he's like, all right, I got these, put them up, boom, done. Is there, you know, when you have, it's kind of like a bid-ask on gold. You know, that's a good question to help us understand how Bitcoin may work. Richard, when you have up on all the screens that you have in your lobby there, and it has, you know, bid and ask and this and that, so explain what that means.
So essentially, those prices are the prices that, that we'll pay people. So the bid price or the we buy price is the price that we'll buy coins from customers at. The ask price is the price that we will sell them to customers.
And at the moment, what is the spread?
Well, it depends on the coin, what the spread is, and it really depends on the demand of the coin and the inventory that we have of a particular coin.
So on
generally,
just
the premiums that people are mostly concerned about, you know, when buying certain coins or purchasing certain coins from customers.
Well, the bullion, if I'm going and getting a bar, you know, I got a gold certified stamped, probably doesn't have tungsten in it, bar, okay, you know, that I go in and have a 10 ounce or something like that, which they got problems with in New York, you know, shocking. But I go ahead and do that, and it's all certified, and you said, and boom, and 10 ounces. What is the percentage difference in the price of what I pay and what I turn around and sell it to you at?
The percentage difference between the two right now is $30. So it's,
pretty
2%.
Low. I'm sorry?
Yeah. For the 1 ounce bar, it's pretty low.
Yeah, you got a deal on there. I've seen up here, you know, it's like you had ads for, you know, low. Actually, I mean, lower than I've ever seen, even when it wasn't that popular, you know, so. You know, I won't go talk to you. But the thing is I'm going, it's the same kind of thing as you're dealing with the conversion of the Bitcoins into cash on the market out there. Is it like kind of bid-ask, but is it pretty much the same? If it says Bitcoins are cost $12 and I want to sell them, how much am I getting, Eric? $11.99? I mean, you know, what am I getting?
Yeah, so the same principle applies with Bitcoin. There's always a bid order and an ask order, and there's a spread between the two. So currently on the largest exchange, Mt. Gox, that spread is about 5 cents. So that's at the current price, that means it's about a 0.4% difference. So if you buy a coin right now, it's going to cost you, you know, $12.57, and if you sell it, you'll get paid $12.
Okay, this is, you know, it's looking good. Okay, we're going, you know, it looks real good. And we're going to go ahead and give it a shot and try and open up the pipeline, you know, here with the Lovelutionaries that have, you know, been hoarding up a bunch of gold and silver and so on, getting ready for zombie apocalypse. And when the dollar does go down, you know, if they could easily transition into using bitcoins in their daily living, because that's it, sooner or later, it's going to come, or something like it. When it does, who's going to be ready? Oh, we are. We are. All right, we're going to have Cody Wilson on at the top of the hour, and then we'll get back to this and, you know, finish this up. And then today, we're going to go ahead and, you know, open up the pipeline for us to be able to use Bitcoin in buying gold and silver. You guys stay right there, all right?
Okay.
All right, yeah. Here we go.
Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
I gotta turn myself in. I just don't know to who or for what. Okay. Well, Cody Wilson. He wanted to find out too. So he went to the BATF office and said, "I'm here to turn myself in for what? I'm not really sure. Are you guys the guys?" They said, "Yes, we are. Get in the back room. Let's have a little talk about it. We only got them for this one segment." Now, Cody, tell me everything. You went down to the BATF with your wrists in front of you saying, "Slap them on." Okay.
Not true.
Okay. Well, what happened?
Ernie, thank you for having me on. I went to the ATF field office in Austin because I couldn't get any straight answers from lawyers, from nobody. And I'm an impatient man. So, you know, I can't get anyone to give me answers. So I go up there and I go, "Can I get an agent?" And they go, "What do you want an agent for?" You know, typical customer service. So I say, "Look, I just got a question about the, you know, firearms technology branch. I'm trying to make some stuff. I want to know if I need to submit to the ATF. Is it Title I, Title II, et cetera?" So they come out and they say, "Well, what's your name?" I say, "Well, I'm Cody Wilson." They go, "All right, we'll be right back." And then the agent comes back again. He goes, "Did you say your name was Cody Wilson?" And I said, "Oh, no.
You just saved us a trip."
Exactly. And he goes, "Why don't you come back here with me?" And I'm like, "I am the biggest fool
on the planet. Did not bring your lawyer, you moron."
Exactly. I'm like, "I can't believe it." And to top it all off, I drove to them. Yeah, I drove right to them. Just gave myself on a platter.
Youngin.
So, so begins probably one of the most unnerving 2 minutes of my life. And I like to pretend that I've got some steely nerve or anything, but this seems to take the cake. So they take me back to a conference room in the back and shut all the doors. Another agent walks in. They go, "Why don't you have a seat right here?" No conversation begins well with those words. So began an impromptu interrogation. Of course, I made the split-second decision that I can either clam up and say I want a lawyer and this can take all day, or I can just kind of play along. These guys want to talk about.
Doesn't have to take all day. You turn around, walk out, but then they'd probably be following you. But, you know,
well, I mean,
all right.
You know.
So
I just wanted to see what they wanted to know. And they were like, "Well, you know, the reason we got you back here is because, we were tipped off about you." And I was like, "Well, what?" You know, and so turns out someone had kind of put the word in about me to them. And they said they were going to go contact me today or yesterday, no matter what. So I didn't know it, but I had a visit coming from the ATF either way yesterday.
Yeah, you're probably better off there anyway, but I wouldn't advise this in the future. I mean, you know, I've had my dealings with BATF and usually do it as a journalist thing, and this is what happens. We question a bunch of different, you know, aspects of the law, and they go, "Oh, Ernie, these laws aren't made for people like you." I go, "No, they're made for people exactly like me." And the thing is that they want to give you the impression that really they want to have all this kind of arbitrary power so they can selectively enforce it when they want to. And so the question is, do they want to on you?
Mm. Well, these guys ended up being, well, who knows what they really want, right?
It doesn't matter. They do what they're told. They want to keep their job. It doesn't give a crap how great and wonderful they love you or your idea. When they get the memo from somebody that says, go get them, they're going to get you.
Yeah, they ended up helping me out and ended up being, I think, somewhat impressed by 3D printing. I mean, they were totally taken off guard by what I was doing. They had no idea. So, pretty interesting conversation when it was all said and done. And, of course, I walked out a free man, but still feeling
like
an idiot.
Were they writing stuff down on pieces of paper?
Of course.
And that is going to go into a report, and it's going to go to the guy below him or the guy above him? The guy above.
You can bet above.
And the guy that gets that's above them, he's going to send it to the guy above him until, everybody's passed this buck on up to somebody that says, now we got to do something. And what do you think they're going to do?
Oh, exactly. I'm sure this will go all the way to somebody who goes, we must stop this man.
Well, what is it that they're using to stop you? Is there something that you were looking for to get, a permission slip from the man? I mean, what were you looking to accomplish?
No, I was just running questions by him. Basically, the law is behind the technology. There's no way to know how to classify the kind of printable guns we want to do. And like, are they Title I, Title II? Well, the law is so vague, it uses definitions that rely on a conventional way of thinking. It actually doesn't have strict definitions. The GCA and the NFA rely on our conceptions of what a pistol is. Well, that has no meaning in a world where a pistol can be anything you imagine and design on a 3D printer. So basically we're becoming sojourners and, we're in a legal gray area that's unprecedented. And so I don't want to go to prison. And I basically needed the confirmation of, and I called San Antonio and got it as well. Basically, I needed them saying, we don't know, which is as good as I'm going to jail if I do this without a license.
Right. Well, I tell you what it's going to come down to. It's what it always does. It's like, anything. That's why the libertarian axiom is this. Any possession of anything is not a crime. Now, it may be evidence of a crime, because they always say, well, what about child pornography? Evidence of a crime. I mean, is it possession of this tape, this disc, this information, these ones and zeros, is that the crime? Well, they'll go, oh, you heartless, you're creating a market. And Fortin will go, no, that's what got Mary Ruart in trouble. But she wrote Healing Our World. She was saying by making these things a crime, you create a black market for it and the incentive to sell, crack to kids in junior high playgrounds. I mean, this is, whenever you get government involvement in it, it gets worse. So possession is not the crime. What they're going to do is they have to make that a crime. Possession of something a crime. And I think anything that sends a projectile faster than 300 feet per second, is regulated by because we can. Okay? So it's going to, because we're getting into rail guns. We're getting into, hell, it might be particle weapons or maybe, blah, 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 blah. And it's going to be anything that, poses a threat to the king. I mean, it's from crossbows to cryptography, man. I mean, it's always been whenever the people were empowered with bitcoins, be able to spend their money anonymously, being able to print your own weapon. I mean, it's all about control. And you represent one of the today is a good day. We got Bitcoin and we got printed weapons. Man, it's all over for the man, and they got to know. So as you went and you had this conversation with them, at the end, they promised, they said, you know what, we're going to get back to you, right?
No, they didn't. They said, well, I forget about this. This is all taken care of.
Bullshit.
I know, but look, it's what they said. I'm just telling you what they told me.
Of course they did.
Well, they were like,
good, man. Don't worry about it.
I'm the biggest pessimist there is. And, I just... But, they let me go, man. They let me walk. They gave me a regulation book. They hooked me up with a guy in San Antonio. I mean, in every way, they facilitated my questions, and I was not impeded from doing what I wanted to do. So far, so good, man. All's well that ends well. And
well, I think they were going to, slap the cuffs on you right then,
But it's not plain that I've done anything that I can be in trouble for.
Well, you were in Wired magazine. I mean, just yesterday, Wired.com, we put up a story that they did on the company that you leased the 3D printer. You had it. It was delivered to your house, and all of a sudden they said, you know what? Never mind. We want it back.
Oh, yes, and that's literally how it happened, too. They emailed me, and they go, hey, yeah, we found out who you were, and we don't really want you to be doing this. And she was like, do you have, and they asked me rhetorically, they go, do you have a federal firearms license? And I'm like, you know, like, I can tell where this is going, but, like, I don't need a federal firearms license. You know, if these are Title I, I don't need them. And they go, well, we're not going to get in a legal debate. Tell us when we can come get our printer back.
No. That is not what happened. I guarantee. Freaking tell you how they found out who you were was some government agent man calling them.
Actually, it was the reverse, Ernie. I have every indication that they referred me to the government.
Yeah, that's maybe what they said. I'm, you know, they didn't give a crap on it, unless it's some lawyer guy doing whatever. It's conspiracy, man! It's conspiracy! Well, we're just walking it through. So what you're looking at is that you're going to try and go ahead and file to become a manufacturer. Is that your plan?
Yeah, that's the plan, and work with as many other manufacturers that'll help us.
All right, well, that's where we're going with this. Cody Wilson.
Arizona has been one of the hottest real estate markets.
All right, there we go. Whoa, man, you're killing me. All right, well, this is probably the best way to do it. It's probably what I would have done anyway, but, you know, I don't mean I won't make fun of you. But the point is that, you know, the real story now is you keep developing this and you go ahead and apply for and all this. But let me tell you something. I went through this before. What happened was when they were doing space launches, getting ready to do this, it was 03, 04, when Spaceship One's getting all ready to go and all this kind of stuff, and there were others. You know, there's still a lot of others. You know, SpaceX and Bezos' thing, of course, Blue Origin and Bigelow Aerospace. I mean, there's a bunch of the private space race is a lot more than people know. They're not telling you. And, I mean, all of a sudden, we're going to have a base on Mars and go, how the hell that happened, you know? And what happened is that I go, well, where do you launch from? How do you get, you know, the man to do whatever and don't? They didn't have you get a flight plan. You're going through air traffic kind of regulated. You get, okay, go and peace be upon thee. Well, they go, no, I need a piece of paper saying I don't need a piece of paper. I mean, they created their own. Literally, that's what happened. Oh, if we can just do this, well, I need a piece of paper that says I don't need permission from you. Well, then they just created a bureaucracy, okay?
Yeah.
Well, once that started, then the FAA starts getting involved, and then, of course, Air Force, Lord knows what, and you go, you can't. And all right, fine, I'll just go to Mexico. I'll go to Mexico and launch. And they go, oh, no. You still a U.S. citizen, boy. You are slave anywhere on the planet.
Oh, so they get the jurisdiction anywhere if you're trying.
Oh, yeah, you're part of our herd, man, you know? So I'm going,
hate this, man. No, you can't do anything.
I'm, you know, it's that mentality. So I'm going, okay, this is good to know. Well, then is the ocean available? So think about it. You're just, you know, 12.1 miles on Seastead gun manufacturing 3D printing platform off the coast of California and doing this outside jurisdiction, then what? Because what do you have? You just have ones and zeros that you're shipping over, you know, via, you know, communication set. Hell with Wi-Fi, you know, UHF Wi-Fi can go that far. So you go, you know, here, manufacture, make, do. Because you guys already got the CNC file pretty much done, right?
I mean, yeah, we've got tons of files, yeah.
So I'm just like, it's just, where's your barge in the ocean?
Yeah.
This is over. Yeah. It's just going to be how they're, and they're going to say, oh, I'm sorry, you can't American. Well, okay, we're Filipinos. Yeah, well, we got submarines, okay?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go to Singapore.
I'm telling you, you got to walk this through. So I'm hip, man. I'm all over it. You do it. All right, I got to get back to my other guest, but this is, man, I see where this goes, okay?
Yeah, so, well, tell them I love, I didn't get a chance to talk to them, but, you know, I love BitInstant. I love what they're doing, man. I believe in them.
In who?
I love BitInstant. I love what they're doing, and I believe in them.
No, it's going to go straight to you, too. I can tell, man. You know, so this is, I see where this goes. Well, go ahead and keep yourself out of jail and keep us, you know, in the process of how you go through all your filing, whatever. But that's still, you can do development and just go print guns 12 miles off the coast of California for all I care. So that's what, you know, scares them.
Okay. We'll be in touch, man.
All right. Peace.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Hello, welcome back to Declare Your Independence. I'm Ernest Hancock. I need to check. I got you there, Eric?
Yeah.
Okay, got you. All right, good. All right. I just got off with Cody Wilson from Defense Distributed. He had a meeting with the BATF, and it goes down to, you know, simple things like this. I can see where the man has the serfs out here being able to just print their own firearms, pay for them with BitInstant, you know, or use BitInstant. He's, oh, yeah, you wanted me to tell you he's a fan, so two thumbs up. And and that's probably how this stuff is going to happen. You know, here's a software. It's available, whatever. I get, you know, I paid this kid in his basement to make me a what, you know, here's the file, do it. And he doesn't care. Comes and puts it in a thing, ships it, and or you go pick it up at, you know, the back door or whatever. I mean, I can see where this is going. And to keep the transaction of whatever monetary value there is anonymous and going in and out of silver and gold with bitcoins, I you know, the government just got leapfrogged. And I remember writing an article. I used to do a regular column when I was on the air here locally and for a local newspaper. And I was, you know, making the point that, you know, there is going to be a time to where all we want from government is just to be able to use our yellow pages. And I made the argument. I go, look, I want yellow page government. You know, you get the blue pages in the front. You got the yellow pages in the back. And I go to blue pages, and nobody ever answers the phone. Nobody, you know, will answer your question when you do get them on the phone. You can't get anything. And all they want to do is come beat you over the head with a gun and make you do something or prevent you from doing something. I go to the yellow pages, whatever I need. You know, whatever, you know, water, you know, infrastructure, trash, you know, protection, anything I want, I can voluntarily pay for and just go to the yellow pages. I want yellow page government. Of course, now it's just a, you know, search engine. But, you know, my point is that there is nothing they offer that, you know, really that I can't do better without. So I am seeing the future of exactly what you're doing and marrying the physical world of what Richard has and what you're doing, Eric. So I'm going, all right, in the break, you know, in the last 20, 25 minutes that you guys had off, were you able to create the account? You guys all good?
Yep.
Yeah, we're good. Everything's created. He even sent me a little bit of money.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good. Okay. Now, Richard, go ahead and walk us through this, of the experience that you just had. How difficult was it? What you got is 20 minutes as a business to be able to take Bitcoin in exchange for, and what do you think about it?
Honestly, it was extremely simple, but it's because I had Eric there telling me exactly where to go and what to do. You know, just a very simple tutorial on either BitInstant or something like that. I'm sure it's there. I just haven't looked. This is just a piece of cake, honestly.
Well, you know, that's one thing. Yeah, I know. They always say you just. I hate these guys, you know. They go, well, you adjust this, and, you adjust, and I look on my keyboard, and I'm looking for the adjust button. I don't see a adjust button. Where's that adjust button? Okay. So hopefully, you know, but the thing is that, you know, without any understanding of knowing about nothing, you know, Eric was able to, in the last 20 minutes, you were able to create an account. You can send. You can take money. You got an account with money, right?
Yeah.
And you do the QR code, and somebody blips it. I go to your place. If you send this to Gabriel at Liberty over there, I go over to Liberty, and I say, you know, here's my smart. I go, bleep, and it will transfer my money from my wallet directly into your account, and I walk out with silver. Is that right, Eric?
Yep.
Hey, man. You know, we're styling. Are we not?
Yep. It's pretty easy once you get used to it.
Okay. So this is now, did you go so far as to install a wallet on his phone, or you just got him an account on the internet?
No, we did not deal with a phone wallet. All I did was set him up at Coinbase, which is a very simple e-wallet. So he went there, he made an account, it took about a minute. And then now he can send and receive Bitcoins from that account.
Okay, now there's another thing to take into consideration here too. We're a sole proprietorship. I keep it that way because it's easier. I know I could do all the incorporation, this, that, but it's government forms. I'm like, you know, you're lucky I even do my taxes. So, you know, let's just, you know, leave it at that. But the thing is they still get all anal about, you know, mixing accounts and so on. So I have my personal PayPal account, and I have my Freedom's Phoenix PayPal account, and I'm going, okay. In the PayPal accounts, you keep them separate, so he would be better off to have this as his business liberty account and just use that and keep track of that, and then for any personal stuff, he'd create another account, right?
Yeah, if he wants to keep things separated like that. There's no rules, so he can do whatever he wants.
You know, that's true, because what happens is, it's just he's converting it to cash anyway, so what do they care? As long as it shows up on due taxes, they don't give a crap, right?
Right, and if he's going to be selling the Bitcoins for dollars, then those dollars will end up in his business account or his personal account. So that's
So the government wouldn't even know or need to know or care to know that it happened through a Bitcoin transaction.
Right. As of now, the government doesn't care about any Bitcoin transaction. It would be because Bitcoin's not recognized by them as money. It's just data. It'd be like if I sent you a Microsoft Word file, you know, how much is that worth? Well, I'm not sure, but it's not money. It's just information that I'm sending you. The government only cares at the point at which it's converted into what they see as money. So when you sell the thing for dollars, at that point it becomes a taxable item, and you have to be careful with how it's done with the accounting. But before, when it's still in Bitcoin world, it's just like trading text files back and forth.
Wow. I can't imagine this not be dangerous. I mean, it's like the BATF taking Cody in the back room and say, you see that rubber hose up on the wall? You going to talk to us or not? Okay? You know, that kind of thing. So I'm going, all right. As this goes, have you been contacted or had any... Because I remember when Bitcoin was first getting going, you know, and I'll tell you when it really started, I'm like, whoa, so what? Was when Chuckie Schumer said, you know, we got to stop Bitcoin or do something, or even mention the word Bitcoin, you know, or they've been able to, you know, Silk Road, they were doing some encrypted transactions and buying drugs or whatever. And I'm going, man, you know, is someone or anyone or your industry contacted and said you better, you should, you have to, you can't? I mean, any kind of communication with government at all?
Yeah, a number of people doing Bitcoin companies have had interactions with various government agencies. One of the lead developers presented at the CIA last year. We've been in contact with the New York State Banking Department. The FBI had a report leaked where they were investigating the ramifications of Bitcoin. But it's always been fine. I mean, mainly the government is interested in making sure that people comply with AML, like anti-money laundering rules. And to the extent that is happening, they really don't care. As long as you're paying your taxes and you're following the AML rules, then they're not gonna have a problem with it.
Well, how is money laundering get involved when you're just using the Bitcoin themselves? You're not making any transition. You know, what they're afraid of is, you know, they want the Bank of America log where they transferred $500,000 into Bitcoin. They're going like, you know what, we'd like to know about that guy. I mean, that's what you're talking about?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to get more from Richard and Eric on the, you know, here we go. We're going into the future and we're trying to blaze a trail for you because we can't.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Who grew up tall and proud in the shadow of the mushroom cloud? Wish our voices can be heard. Just want to scream it louder and louder. What the hell we fighting for?
Yeah, what are we fighting for here in the clear? Independence of Ernest Hancock in Phoenix, Arizona. From the BEA Utiful Studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. I'll tell you, you know, you ever get that spidey tingling? You know, my spidey senses are going. Like, man, if we don't got some spidey senses, you know, a flaring right now, a little solar flare thing going on. Because, you know, we're dealing with printable firearms and unprinted money. I mean, wow. Strange days indeed. And who's on the leading edge? Hello. All right. So this is what we're doing. Talking to leading edgers, Eric Voorhees and Richard Lambertus from Liberty Precious Metals. Now, I'm going to make the transaction today to where I am going to deposit from my bank account some cash and charge up my Bitcoins in my Bitcoin wallet using BitInstant, and I go over to Liberty, and I'm going to go bleep, and it's going to send him Bitcoins that they're going to convert to cash or not. I don't know. He can do what he wants with them. And he marks it down. Yep, I got this much money from, you know, somebody came in and they got silver. Done. Sounds easy. Probably is easy. You know, but this is, I think this is more revolutionary than people anticipate. Because I remember when PayPal started. PayPal was just, you know, pay what? So what? You paying you what? You know, and it was, you know, kind of clumsy a little bit and so on. And eBay, you could do, man, they had entire businesses. People were making a living on buying and selling stuff. And there was no reporting to the man. When we did the Silver Dimes with Daily Paul and had our first, man, we had to have a crew of like 15 people were here for a week doing nothing else but making like over 6,000 dime cards. All of a sudden, in my bank account, I remember it was something like $30,000 is in my PayPal account. Well, guess what? I bet you the man noticed. And if they didn't notice, PayPal made sure they noticed. You know, this is you're not able to just be on the internet. Used to be, you know, freedom. Well, it's not anymore. So what's Bitcoin going? Well, by its very nature, it is anonymous. So Eric, talk about that. Even if they wanted to regulate it, how can they? You know, what part can they regulate?
So what they can regulate is where the Bitcoin world intersects with the normal financial world. So companies like ours, you know, we have an office here in New York City, and we move normal dollars around. They can regulate us. They could tell us what we need to do. But Bitcoin itself as a currency and payment network is unregulatable. Anyone who wants to get Bitcoin software and use it to transact with people that they know can do that without using names or identities. They can do it from any country. There's no age restriction. There's no amounts. There's no capital controls. There's no freezings of accounts, any of that stuff. And that's why the whole system is so revolutionary.
I don't know. I'm like the king has decreed that even having a blockchain app on your cell phone, immediate death. I mean, you know, don't laugh. So I'm going, this is, I mean, but, you know, you're going to see that one. Well, maybe you won't see it coming. But I'm telling you, you know, I see the danger just by what you just said. They're like, damn, they have to totally reconstitute, you know, the whole entire mindset of the government to try and keep the slaves on the plantation. You know, this is it's like all of a sudden you find yourself in another solar system and they're like, you're ours. You can't. And I remember when the space race thing, they're going about where they were launching. And what they did is they said, well, you can't launch from here because all right, fine, we'll go to Mexico or out in the ocean. Oh, no. You're still a U.S. citizen. You're our livestock and you'll do what we tell you or won't do what we won't let you. And I'm like, you know, that was very good. I'm glad you said that. We needed to know that perspective that you have on us. This is all good information. Well, we didn't really mean it that. Oh, yeah, you did. You know, so I'm going, all right, I'm willing to do this. Now, Richard, you know, is going through this process, listening to this, having Eric walk you through this. You know, do you have any concerns? Do you see how this is done? It's like, all right, give me Bitcoins. I, you know, turn it into money. I report it. You get silver. I'm good. I mean, you have any concerns on this short term?
Short term, no. I mean, just understanding how quickly we could turn the Bitcoins into cash into our bank accounts. Really, the only thing that I would be worried about. We're not in the business to make money on the fluctuation of Bitcoins. We're really just trying to facilitate a transaction. So for us, you know, as long as it turns into cash in our bank account, it really doesn't matter, you know, what form it comes in.
Okay, Eric, tell us about that. Now, we're talking about me going and taking cash and put it into Bitcoins. You know, what's the transition from Bitcoins into cash for him?
Right. So if he was taking Bitcoins automatically on his website through like a e-commerce store and he used a system like Paysius, he would get the Bitcoins and they would automatically be converted to dollars and put into his bank account all behind the scenes. So that's very simple. But in the case now, he's going to be taking Bitcoins from you in the actual retail location. So it'll be more like just more of a manually done system. So when you go pay him, you'll take your phone and he'll show you a QR code with his account number. You'll pay to that account number, the Bitcoins. Then he will have Bitcoins and he will then send them to another account he will have at an exchange. He will sell them at the current market price at the exchange, and then he will have U.S. dollars there, and then he will just do an ACH payment from that exchange into his bank account.
Okay, have you set that portion of it up with him?
No. So I'll do that with him also, but I know what exchange I'm going to recommend to him, and the ACH payments are free from there, so it should be pretty simple for him to do that.
Okay, no, yeah, pretty, yes, I know, just buttons. But go ahead and make sure that, you know, when we get done with the show today, you guys hook up again and do, because I want it to be, you know, so when we talk to Richard again, that it was seamless. Yeah, I went in, I went bleep, he went bleep, he got his cash, he got it, I got my silver, you know, it was transferred in the dollars that he reported, did, and it's all good. You know, we need to go ahead and make sure we go through the full process, because I'm doing the part from the bank, the Federal Reserve notes going into Bitcoins, and Bitcoins going to him to get my silver. I get my silver. He needs the Bitcoins to go back into cash that he puts in his bank account, and we're all good.
Now, right, and one important point is that once he has sold the Bitcoins back into dollars, then he's back in the normal financial system with all the onerous rules and delays and restrictions that come with that. So, you know, when he wants to wire the money back to his bank account, he's going to have to provide ID for that, and there's probably going to be a three-day delay. But again, that's all, he's back in the normal dollar world. That's not a Bitcoin phenomenon. That's just,
hey, you know, that, got a retail outlet in Scottsdale. Guess what? You're in the world.
Yeah.
So, Richard, are you feeling comfortable with this? You know, if Eric walks you through so you can make that, the final leg of this thing is taking these Bitcoins that you get and immediately going into cash so that you don't have any kind of a fluctuation. But that may change. There may come a time in, you know, in nanoseconds, all of a sudden you got a 10% difference. I'm telling you, when the dollar goes, it's going to get stupid. Hell, you may want to keep the Bitcoins.
Yeah, that's something that we'll have to think about long term. But for now, you know, until we understand Bitcoin, until we, you know, become familiar with the way that it trades and the way that its market and all that kind of stuff, you know, we'd be more interested in getting it into cash.
You know, Gabriel is a big Austrian economist, a young man, 30 years old, was even taught economics at a charter school, big in the, you know, the movement. And, you know, have you talked to him about this? Is he excited? He's all pumped up on it?
I haven't, but Gabriel is a student of money. And this is something that, you know, Gabriel would just eat up, because, you know, his philosophy is money is not what you say it is. Money is what the market says that it is. And, you know, if money is currently, you know, Bitcoin, then that's what it is. And so he'd love to be involved. He's going to be a good candidate to run this through.
Yeah, no, I can already see what's going to happen. It's going to explode all over Facebook. Oh, yeah, we had our Haria Phoenix, which is our Arabic Facebook account, all of a sudden got suspended. We're going to find out more about that. Don's done going, ooh, you guys didn't know we published in Arabic, did you? Well, they don't like it no more. We'll be right back with Eric and Richard in just a little bit.
Liberty Coin and Precious Metals lets me meet face-to-face expert who takes the time to know me and my investment needs. You can't get that kind of personal attention on the web or from a faraway company. I trust Liberty. Visit their Scottsdale store or call 877-888-8052. That's 877-888-8052. Liberty Coin and Precious Metals.
Liberty.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and other independence declaring kind of guys. We got Eric Voorhees and Richard Lambertus from Liberty Coin and Precious Metals here in Scottsdale and in Del Mar, you know, San Diego, Southern California. Yeah, rock and roll and whatnot. Okay. Now, we're going to be seeing everybody. We're going to say, yo, what's up? You know, we're going to be at Libertopia coming up later this month. And we got, you know, there's so much happening, you know. And this month's easing is based on, you know, home-based, I did it, workbench, I made, change the planet, change America.
okay? You know, we're going to have to do it ourselves. I tell you, Bitcoin was a definitely do-it-yourself kind of thing. You know, you're selling precious metals. That's an over-the-counter physical. There's not a whole lot more physical than, you know, you give me something of value that I like. I want that more, and I want this, and you want this more, and you want that, and, you know, boom, done. Everybody's happy. Oh, but then the man comes in. They're going to tell you how you're going to do it and how much of a cut they get for doing it. And they're, you know, there was a presentation that was done by an elderly woman that, you know, longtime activist anarchist. She came up. She won the soapbox idol thing at Porcupine Festival, where she said 10 reasons why the mafia is better than the government. And, you know, it was so true. And it was I suggest you mafia versus government. Porcupine Festival 2012. You Google something like that, I bet you it comes up. Okay, so let's talk to Eric. Eric, I want to know, you know, what kind of reaction are you getting? You're in Midtown Manhattan on the third floor of a high rise and whatever, doing business. Are there people walking in, or you just have office space? Is this, you know, something that you need to see people? Is it all done on the internet and phone, or what? I mean, how is your business operating? How many people are interested? Are you being contacted? Do you have to market out to them? Tell us about your plan, man.
Right. So we started about a little less than a year ago, and up until 2 months ago, we were just working out of our bedrooms. But our company started growing very quickly in January, and it's currently growing at about 20 or 30% per month in revenue.
Wow.
I think this last month we processed over $3 million worth of transactions just in a month. So from our perspective, the whole Bitcoin economy is just exploding right now, and it's been hard for us to keep up with it, but we're trying. we don't have people walk into our place. We operate everything just from a commercial office, and we're not really like a retail business or anything like that.
Well, is this mature enough technology and supply? I mean, for you to get on these systems to be able to, you know, do the Walmart thing, you know, Bank of America, Wellfart, you know, kind of get on that system, do it. I mean, I'm wondering what you had to demonstrate or show or had. I mean, it's always people like Richard. Yeah, you know, I'm willing to give it a try. What the heck? You know, there had to be somebody you went to and made a presentation. They go, yeah, I'm willing to give it a try. Get on the network. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's our business. We try to find payment partners that we can use to bring value to our customers and figure out good ways to interface the normal financial world with the new financial world of Bitcoin. And when we find partners that are interested and eager for this, then we, you know, we have some negotiations and we set up a system and we launch with them. All the partners we've worked with so far have been extremely happy. You know, we've already become their best client in terms of volumes in some ways. So after they get over the initial reservations about this weird new currency system, at the end of the day, it's just business to them.
Well, what about competition? Richard, all of a sudden, he says, yeah, this works out well. And the guy's going to walk in and say, yeah, those suckers, man, they're charging you what? Well, we'll do this and give you a shiny and we'll put out and market and we got and we're better.
Yeah, I mean, we could have competitors try to compete with us.
Good.
Not to brag too much, but the people that we have at our company are pretty central to Bitcoin. I think we have a very good understanding and connection with the Bitcoin community itself. And, you know, to catch up to where we are now would take quite a few months of work, and that's if we weren't doing anything further. But Bitcoin itself is an open, free market. So anyone who wants to get involved and try to make some new entrepreneurial endeavor can absolutely do it.
Well, that's one thing that you've been vetted through the community. You know, I've known of you. God, we met probably, I know we met the last Porcupine Festival and then probably the previous Pork Fest, didn't we, in 11?
Yeah, I think we met at 2011 Pork Fest.
So this, you guys have been around a while, and I know Nick and Drew dragging me over. Man, you got to meet these guys. Oh, they got it going on. And, man, you know, here we go. And I'm like, all right, cool. You know, I can see if this, you know, and it's developed. It has progressed to the point that I'm interested now in putting some money in to have a wallet of Bitcoins. Now, you got to, like you say, you got to look at it as a wallet. I need to have, you know, that's one thing that's bothering me. I'm going to need to have another account that I kind of keep a store in. And, you know, maybe I'll put 100 or whatever, you know, bitcoins into, well, heck, that'd be $1,200. So 50, you know, well, you know, enough that I can go around and do whatever. Because it's getting increasingly online that I can go somewhere and buy whatever stuff that I got. And the only transaction record of it is that they ship something to my house, right?
Yeah, and you know, it's just the same with any money. You're going to have some stored safely away somewhere, and some that you use to spend. You know, I bet you have a bunch of silver coins with you, but you probably don't have your entire bullion collection on your person when you're walking out to the store. So well, the same kind of phenomenon occurs with Bitcoin. You keep some of it safe, locked away, offline, and you keep some of it with you.
Okay, now this is something Liberty can come in with. I'm going, Richard. You know, it's not just that I give you Bitcoin for silver. What if I come in with silver? Are you willing to give me bitcoins in return?
You know, to start with, I think we're going to start with just the bitcoin coming in. But I don't see why, once we're comfortable with that, we wouldn't do it the other way around as well, Ernie.
Well, how? You know, see, that's another thing. That's a whole new area there that. You know, if he's taking silver from me and I'm cashing in and I don't want Federal Reserve cash, I want me some Bitcoin. If he has some built up or he's got has to put a cash in to, I mean, he can do that, and there may be a percentage charge for him to do it using your service, whatever. But I'm wondering what kind of taxable or traceable or reportable transaction that is. Eric, what do you think?
Well, you're supposed to report all of that, right? So any time that you're exchanging property with any person, that's supposed to be reported. When you're supposed to report Christmas gifts on your taxes. Whether or not people do that is up to them, but from the point of view of the government, you're just supposed to report everything.
You make enough laws, everybody's a criminal.
Yeah, for us, it would all go into our point-of-sale system, so it would be captured on our monthly and our daily sales and everything like that.
Okay, well, this sounds like a Gabriel project, okay? So, you know, so it could be as easy as, is there software available out there, Eric, for when they do a point of sale that it's just like on, you know, I'm going on the web and they'll say, you know, Visa, Discover, MasterCard, American Express, PayPal, Bitcoin. I mean, you know, is that it just get added as a, you know, it just becomes ubiquitous just like everything else?
Yeah, that's what Paysius does, one of my other companies. So, anyone who has an online store and they want to add Bitcoin as a payment option alongside PayPal or credit card, they can just plug one of these into their shopping carts, and then their customers have the option to pay with Bitcoin. So the fees will be lower. There's no charge risk.
So that's one thing that, you know, is an option right now, is that, you know, he has a computer there that, okay, we can do this transaction this way. It's just a online internet connection, and it goes, you know, bleep.
Sorry, what was that?
Well, I mean, you have it, you know, if you're going to be doing back and forth, I mean, it's as simple as on his POS system or doing it. He has to have the accounts charged, but you can also just do it like, Richard, you sell bullion over the internet too, don't you?
Not right now. For the bullion, for the precious metals industry, it's kind of basically the industry shuts down at 5 o'clock Eastern time. And because of hedging requirements, if all of our vendors are shut down, it becomes a little bit of tricky in figuring out how much you need to have over the night to make sure you're not cut dry in the morning and lose a bunch of money.
Yeah, well, just yesterday, gold shot up in about, I don't know what, an hour? I mean, it took a big, giant, ooh, here we go. And this is why I want to get into this, because, you know, it's going to get to where I'm thinking that there, you know, I always say, look, it's not going to happen all at once. I mean, we see all this, but it is going to happen overnight. I mean, you go, yeah, all the stuff, all the chess pieces are being moved around on the board. But what happens is all of a sudden you wake up one morning, you go, damn. The first thing I do is I check gold and silver in the morning. You know, blah, 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 stock market, blah, 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 European Union, blah, 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 ECB, Federal Reserve, I don't care. What's gold and silver doing? That tells me way more. We'll let you know what happens.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear! A little bit of concern, but, you know, we just got to, you know, not be stupid, you know, and the experience helps you not be stupid. Let me tell you what's going on. We are going to blaze it. This is, you know, this is so commonplace for us. You know, Donna and I have been doing this for a long time, and I, you know, one thing that I add to the mix is, okay, so why aren't we doing it? Let's do it. Let's take one more step. And then I do another step and another step. Let's step away, you know, doing the, you know, the stepping. And there's a lot of times people are either not capable, you know, they don't have the resources or the contact or the knowledge. And, you know, because I'm in this freedom thing, you come across guys like Eric. You know, Drew and Nick, man, they've been, especially Drew, he's just been hammering on, man, we got to get Bitcoin, Eric, talk to Eric. And, you know, he chose wisely because, you know, here's something, man, they're opened up an office in Manhattan. We're going to do some business around the planet. And they saw a need. They understood the capacity and the mechanism and the currency abilities of Bitcoin. But there were gaps. You know, there are things that there's niches there that, you know, they could fill. So they did. Well, then you have precious metal guys that are, you know, freedom oriented. You know, we work with a lot of guys. You know, some of them that we've worked with in the past are, you know, more the patriot, older crowd that understands the value of money and how, you know, they're hip and freedom and constitution, all that kind of stuff. Then you start having guys, you know, the next generation are coming in. Yeah, you know, it's just good business. You know, we know what the market's out there. We want to get in the precious metal. Then you have some Austrian economists, young guys in their 20s, 30s coming in and say, we make this happen. Yeah, Bitcoin, I'm all over it. Boom, done. Waiting on you now. This is exactly what I'm talking about when I talk about generation next, waiting on the other generation just to die off. Buy a tree, go retire, go in nursing home, go be dead, go something, be gone. You know, because I'm telling you, there is a next generation coming. I feel like I'm kind of in the middle. I might even be probably about in the middle. I remember, you know, that it gives me a different perspective. As I'm old enough, as a young child, I don't know, what was I, 7 years old, 6 years old, that I remember when Neil Armstrong stepped on the moon. And the impact of that and Star Trek coming out the same year. And I think it was pretty much about the same time. You got Star Trek, which was like, wow, in color with graphics that were, heck, I watch old Star Treks now. So this is, it's been a while since I've seen one. It's about time. So I, you know, I'm going, you know, it's that kind of inspiration. And what was the most sophisticated piece of equipment in your Mercedes-Benz at the time. What was it? AM radio. I mean, you know, it's just, ooh, and here comes the FM. Oh, an 8-track. Ooh, cassette. Oh, we started getting onboard computers, and then fuel efficiency, kind of doing engineering, government requirement, making whatever, because we don't want them VW bugs competing in here. They can't pass this crash test that we just made up, because we don't want them here, because... You know, it's government, man. They're keeping me away from my, you know, hoverboard. Oh, I got a call yesterday from a guy that made a hoverboard. Want to show you? I'm like, show me, man. When I see it, I'm all over it. You know, he's one of the guys that came here, our energy thing. He came to one of our parties, and he showed me his energy-making device. He went to Atlanta hooking up with a guy doing develop. I want to show we got, oh, we're ready to go. Save the world. And I'm like, all right, cool. Show me. Bring it over. Let's do it. And test it. I got all kinds of equipment now for testing electrical kind of doing. Let's do it. Okay, we'll be right over. Dude, I just want to let you know we're making progress. Okay, well, I will see it. You know, so very well. You never know. I mean, I didn't get the impression that he was lying. He was very excited. He showed me the device. I mean, all it was a special kind of Uber motor, De La, two batteries charge four kind of thing. And I go, all right, well, you know, prove it to me. So this is, you know, there's a lot of guys out there inspired. Just they're not waiting on people doing it, or they're con artists, one or the other. I stopped being surprised about stuff a long time ago. I was like, yeah, whatever, nothing surprises me. I mean, you really got to do something to surprise me. I remember we were watching the Avenger movie, and Captain America comes up, and he goes, yeah, well, I doubt you'll be able to surprise. He goes, $10. Nick Fury goes, $10, you're surprised. And he goes up, and they're on this aircraft carrier, and all of a sudden it starts flying. It goes up, and he just hands him $10. Okay, you surprised me. So, you know, it's going to have to be something like that. You know, then I'll be surprised. And even then, heck, warp speed kind of whatever alien running kind of, you know, Men in Black movie stuff. You know, it really is going to take a lot. I got pretty good imagination, but you never know, man. I might get surprised. But it is, you know, the future is so much a part of Generation Next, way more than the older generation can even understand. I don't have the ability to understand. Well, I have the ability, but I don't have the knowledge or the background to understand how a transistor works, a silicon. I mean, I kind of got a rough idea. Yeah, printed circuit, you do, and electrons go here, there, and don't, and have, and you process, and all. But to do the kind of processing on one chip that took, you know, buildings worth before to do, heck, I didn't even understand what the buildings did with the vacuum tubes. Do any of us? Some do. But all of this, when I talk about being able to use technology, it's not about what app to download on your iPhone. It's how in the heck that just, I'll tell you, I read this story, Corning Glass and the origination of Gorilla Glass, you know, that covers the iPhone. Gorilla Glass is very, very strong, and it's very uber thin that's on there, and it's very strong. Now, once you chip it, you know, you break, then you'll start, you may drop it and not break then, but it creates a weakness that then all of a sudden it'll shatter and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, the thing is, this is enormously strong glass. I mean, this is, you do it in any kind of thickness, man, it's more than bulletproof. It's like, you know, all kinds of proof of all kinds of stuff. It has all kinds of traits. And they're even getting now to where they got flexible glass that they put in sheets and roll it up on big spools. What are they doing with that? They don't know. They're just making it, setting over the side. We'll find something for it. Because the Gorilla Glass that they use for the screens of the smartphones and everything, you know when that was invented? They've been sitting on this, waiting for the application to be able to use this super hard glass. They can do all kinds of whatever. In the late 50s. 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 This has been sitting around that long, and it wasn't until Jobs went up to Corning and said, look, I need a gazillion million blah of this to kind of, you know, make it go whir. Oh, and you got 6 weeks? Okay. You go read that story, man. We had it on Freedom's Phoenix. Corning Glass, history of Gorilla Glass or something, that'll come up. And I found it fascinating of all of the different, and how tempered glass works. Why is tempered glass so strong? And once you break that surface, man, then it just shatters. You know why? You know, how is it that you got, you know, people, you're going around office buildings and you got, you know, whole walls and conference rooms made of glass and so on, and it didn't just break when everybody's hitting it with a mop handle or something. So I'm, you know, it was good to have this. And this is what, 50, 60 years ago? I'm, you know, 50 years ago. 50 years ago. What other stuff is out there? I was amazed at just the stuff that's on the horizon. They're just waiting for an application of all kinds of different stuff for different glasses. You know, you watch Star Trek IV, and what was it? You know, the whales, remember? You know, Scotty goes in and says, look, I need this much thickness for the Lexan to put in our Klingon bird of prey spaceship to take back our whales to go save the Earth. And you know, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you an exchange, transparent aluminum. You know, the same thing can be done with a, you know, inch thick or something like that. Or I can just delete it. No. No, transparent aluminum. You know, they have that now. Now. I'm now, not later.
Arizona has been one of the hottest real estate markets in the past, up until the last couple of years. Homes that were once going for $500,000 to $1 million in prestigious areas are now going for less than half of what the original purchase price was. That makes it a very good time to buy. So if you were ever thinking of retiring to Arizona's inviting climate and laid-back and friendly lifestyle, now is the time. That's where I can help. This is Donna Hancock with Brangus Realty, and I have provided a way for you to search for properties that are of interest to you, all at your own convenience and without having to give out any personal information. Visit my webpage at DonnaHancock.com to start your search today. And when you're ready to make a move to Arizona's warm and sunny climate, please feel free to call or text me at 602-828-1819. Many are working hard to make sure Arizona is not only a beautiful place to live, but a free and peaceful one as well. So what are you waiting for? Make your move today by calling 602-828-1819. And don't forget to visit my webpage at DonnaHancock.com.
What is Libertopia? Libertopia is a voluntary community based on freedom and peace, where each individual's sovereignty and dignity are respected, and all forms of aggression, coercion, and violence are unacceptable. This year, you can experience a taste of Libertopia. Visit the three-day festival this October 11th to 14th at Humphrey's Half Moon Inn, overlooking the bay in beautiful San Diego, California. You'll hear world-class speakers, including Stefan Molyneux, Jeff Berwick, Doug Casey, Sheldon Richman, Angela Keaton, Larkin Rose, and many more. You can take part in workshops, engage in voluntary commerce, and make friends for life. Perhaps you're interested in technology, health and well-being, peaceful parenting, or financial freedom. If so, Libertopia is the place for you. Become a member of this peaceful, voluntary community now. Visit Libertopia.org. Tickets and hotel rooms are going fast, so make sure to reserve yours today at Libertopia.org.
You can put the Liberty Radio Network on the air in your area. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
More better. All right. This is, we're going to blaze some trails today, and there's a lot of stuff going on. That's another thing that we can do is we could do a fundraising Bitcoin drive for Mark Victor's campaign. I'm going to talk to him about this because he's like, you know, hey, man, we got to raise more money. We need to do some money thing. I'll go, all right, we'll do a Bitcoin deal. You know, then what do? You got to report it. What if you're using it to pay for stuff and every time? Yeah, the man wants to get it. You know, you see, it's just, you know, it's the man. It's the man. Okay. How are we going to get away from the man? Well, we're working on it. But, you know, if you're going to be brick and mortaring and I got, you know, the office, you know, sitting right here in the middle of the Scottsdale, you know, they're going to, you know, you get visited. So, you know, and Cody Wilson, you know, in the last hour, he was like, you know, the BATF was on their way to his house. And he's like, hello, I'm here. I need to ask questions. Oh, come on into the back room. You know, we got us a conduit straight out that in this door and out that door to Guantanamo. You know, so he was concerned. He was worried. I'm going, man, you go be talking to some government agents and everything. You better have your attorney with you. But he's a law student, okay? He's in his final, you know, semester of, you know, getting his law degree. And what happens is he's like, you know, I understand how this works. You know, they make it up as they go along. So he's wanting to try and insulate himself from, you know, certain death and damnation. So he's like, you know, we'll go through this. I you know, okay, I need a man. For me to be able to do this, I'm going to need a manufacturing license, a class, whatever. And they'll go, well, we got to decide. Which class, whatever you want to get. And then, you know, how do you got to get? You got to have a place. You got to have a look. You got to. And then you can or can't do something without a special whatever. It's going to be, let me think for a second. You can't, okay? So we'll see what happens there. But that's something we need to know. And I remember the big argument going on in the 90s. There was a big thing. They're like, oh, hell no, we don't want to challenge any Second Amendment thing and go to the Supreme Court because they may rule against us. And all of us activists were going, good. I need to know. It doesn't apply. You can't. You're not allowed. That's all. Thank you for playing. I know that now. You know, they go, no. I'm going, seriously? What? Because it was a Republican thing. It's all about staying in power and stuff and being head of the wheelhouse. They didn't give a crap about individual rights. NRA can suck it. Okay, I got so many NRA stories. All you guys, the NRA. So, man, I got stories that will make you tear up your card. Or, like a lot of my friends, they would be life members, and whenever they send them, you know, some kind of fundraising or whatever, you know, prepaid return envelope money, they put washers and stuff in it and send it back. Yeah, pay for that. So then, it's silver. No, it's washers. Okay. Heck, washers are expensive now. That's another thing. Doing all this hardware stuff and everything, I'm going, you can't buy a little connection piece of brass for less than $6. A washer's like, you know, quarter and stuff. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? This is, wow. Wow. You know, whatever. So, especially if you go to Ace. And what I'm looking at is, I remember back in the day when they were doing, we don't want to challenge this stuff. In 2001, our first Freedom Summit was 3 weeks after 9/11. Bob Levy was one of the speakers. Now, he was from Cato. He was, I think he was a businessman, did something, and at later years, he was in his late 40s or 50s. He's like my age now, and he goes, you know what? I'm going to go get my law degree. I want to do, you know, this is my activism. I want to go, you know, I want to get my, let's do it. So he went to law school, got his law degree. Passed the bar, goes in, gets it in, and boom, he starts taking on cases. Now, I think the one that he was working on before, it was the tobacco industry thing. And he had something to say. Also, they were involved in amicus briefs or whatever on the Microsoft antitrust thing. And so this kind of, you know, freedom-oriented whatever thing, Cato. And he wanted to take on the Heller case. He's the attorney that did that. And he came here to Arizona and spoke at one of the Bill of Rights Day things that Alan Corwin puts on. And he had something to say there. Now, he's still a little bit, you know, Republican, constitutional conservative. We don't like, you know, Democrats kind of, you know, our side, their side, out to quit it stuff. But, you know, it was interesting that he didn't care what, you know, the NRA and the boys said. No, we're going to challenge, you know, Washington, D.C.'s limitation on individuals being able to defend themselves. That was the Heller case. Now, it was kind of muddled the way, you know, well, it's kind of a win and, you know, whatever. They'll argue it either way. But, you know, it certainly didn't go the way the government wanted it. Well, maybe a little bit of it, you know. But the point is that he was willing to challenge it. We need to know. And we were all sitting back here, abso-freaking-lutely. Absolutely. I need to know. Is the government there to protect my ability to, or you know, they give a crap what the Bill of Rights says, or yeah, you know, I don't really care what they say. Just say it. Say it. Well, they knew that too. They're like, damn, man, this is not going to go well. You know, the Supreme Court is just another political body. The thing it's not is to be naive. So Bob Levy went ahead and did that, and here we go. So now I'm like, all right. Then we had the Zimmerman case where the guy that shot the young black man in the hoodie and all that kind of stuff in Florida. There was just last weekend, they had a presentation where Alan was there. And when he comes on, I think we're going to have him on next week or two. And he's going to be, because we want to talk about this printable gun thing too, you know. And so we're going to have that discussion about, you know, where the Zimmerman case is and so on, what happened there. So I'm seeing a change in the tide, you know, and understanding this controversy, you know, that they were running away from is where you actually learn something. I want to go to court. I want to have this discussion. I want to have the agencies doing the whatever. I want Cody Wilson to tell us all about his conversation in the back room with the rubber hose. Okay. Well, verbal rubber hose, whatever. But he said, no, they were nice. They were trying. You know how many times I've been in front of some government agency or bureaucrat or law enforcement or prosecutor, and they're all, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. It's all good. Well, fortunately, I didn't believe them. So I just go out and I make sure and be very public about what was said by whom and this and that and whatever. And then when it all came down, it was obvious it was a political thing. It's never a legal issue. You know, the law follows whatever the king wants to have on there to say how they're going to rule you. You know, they're going to rule you better this way or that way or not as bad or velvet glove or something, but they're going to rule you. You know, oh, don't ever think it's not about how you're going to get ruled. You know, I mean, it's at you know, the bottom line is that you're going to get ruled. So they go, well, okay, we'll make it this way. We'll make it more palatable this way. Well, you know, make it not so onerous this way. We'll go a little bit this way, but you're going to get ruled, and it's what you'll put up with. And a lot of it is either a couple of things. It's either they get a cut, you know, that they can redistribute the wealth or whatever to them, or it's to help maintain and enhance some monopoly granted by the government to some special interest, day law, whatever. And the internet got way too deep in our society, way too fast for them to be able to regulate it. I remember in the 90s, they were trying to regulate hardware, computers and processor speeds and all this other stuff. You know, by the time they get done writing the legislation, that piece of equipment was antiquated anyway. So they have to go at it a different way. Possession. We know you're out there. We can feel you now. We know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. We don't know the future. We aren't here to tell you how this is going to end. We're here to tell you how it's going to begin. We're going back to editing the next edition of Freedom's Phoenix Digital Magazine now, where we are telling the people what you don't want them to know. We're showing them a world without you, a world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries, a world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice we leave to you. Subscribe at freedomsphoenixeasy.com. That's freedoms with an S, phoenixeasing.com.
You can connect with the Liberty Radio Network via our Facebook page at facebook.lrn.fm. That's facebook.lrn.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Oh, yeah, go check out Freedoms Phoenix, with an S, Freedoms Phoenix eZine.com. You know, we're up to our 17th edition now. You know, 17 months. Damn, I got like a couple calendars coming. So that's one thing that we're going to be working on is we're going to be doing, first chance I get. You know, I got enough time. We ain't not Halloween yet, but we'll go ahead and have for Christmas, you know, a calendar that you can buy with Bitcoin and silver. You know, I like silver. Silver good. You know, what happens is I get, you know, subscriptions that I have. All of a sudden, in the mail, I just get ounces of silver. You know, here's an ounce. Here's 2 ounces. Because if you do 1 ounce of silver, you get a dime card and a year subscription and all the back issues and all that and a year, you know, future and everything for the magazine. If you give me 2 ounces of silver, you get a dime card and a silver round of Freedom's Phoenix ounce of silver, AOCS 99999, whatever it is, silver. So we have silver rounds. So it's just exchanging one of your crap silver for some of my co-silver. But the other one is for the year's worth. And so I like that. You know, it just comes in the mail, and it has, you know, my name and fill out the thing, boom, done, put it in the system. It's all good. And what do I do with that? It's just a barter exchange. I got to file something with somebody. Make me. Anyway, so now they know. All right. Now, the gun thing, we were talking yesterday about it, and he was talking about how, you know, they don't want us to be able to, you know, print guns fast from your home. And he said fast. And I go, oh, what can we call this? You're a fast and furious gun printer. Fast and Furious gun printer, time to come after you. Think about it. It's going to go back to the Fast and Furious problem that keeps, you know, biting them in the butt, certainly as we're going into the election cycle. It's not like the Republicans are going to let that one go by. But here you had the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, the Obama administration, Holder, they, them, those. They wanted to have all kinds of gun crime. They needed death and damnation and stuff and going from guns from America. That was a big thing. We have even that we even have the ability to purchase semi-automatic rifles that, well, that is, you know, it's making its way into the drug war and the bad guys are getting them and governments are going to fall because people in America. And that wasn't happening enough because the gun retailers, hey, man, you know, you show the right ID, you do that. Well, it was a gun show loophole. Well, there wasn't enough of that going on to, you know, justify something. So what'd they do? They created their own problem. They go, you know, we want all these guys to come in buy, and you're going to allow them to buy it. BHA, we want you to sell these firearms illegally to these people to be able to take south of the border. So we have all these guns. Aha! Yeah, see, it's a gun trade in America. It's caught, you know, what? Well, it got out. Let me tell you how it got out. As I remember it, it was, I think it was a Scottsdale Gun Club here. And they're going, look, man, we are seeing, we're going to get set up for this, you scumbag. We know better. We've been around. You guys have been scumbags for a long time. So we're going to go ahead and send out this memo. And we said, you know what? We need an answer to this letter that we are not going to be liable for the misuse of these firearms that you're making us sell. Now, we're like, we don't. You go, no, 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 you have to. Hey, man, we do what the BA regulatory making law enforcement gun my face says we got. Okay, you know, we did. But now we want to make sure that we're not held responsible. So when they did that, they go, damn it. And that became public knowledge that they were doing this. So I'm going, okay. You know, and it started all of a sudden. Then, you know, an officer gets killed, a border agent. And then it became a big thing that blows up all over the place. And they're like, oops. So, excuse me. So I'm going, okay, so if you're a home printer fast, you would be Fast and Furious. Well, that's kind of on the edge of the sword, you think? You know, do you want to be associated with that? Because that's exactly what they're going to say. See, now you don't even have to go to FFL. We just get drug cartels get their 3D printer. Mass produce them. They just come off the assembly line. That's not coke. That's polymer that they got in. They're not making drugs. They're printing guns. So, you know, this is, what did we learn from the Romans? Conquer is easy. Control is not. You know, they think that they've conquered. You know, they got, you know, shiny badges and they're in charge of the wheelhouse. But controlling a bunch of people, you know, just creative human brain power. It's, and because they're not this smart, they don't even think of this stuff. They can't even, you know, conceptualize what can come. You know, that's when they go to the Ernie, you know, how is it that you're alive, man? You get all this stuff, you know, like doing this stuff with Bitcoin, going and helping facilitate the marrying between bullion providers, BitInstant, Bitcoins, doing this transaction, retail, starting to put it on their website, blipping coin, you know, using currency, making real world, kind of marrying the dude, kind of doing, leading, revolutionary, we're all doing, get it. You know, do you think the bad guys, if they thought that they could, you know, take out, you know, Neo in the Matrix as a baby, said, you know what, we'll discard this one. This one goes in the trash can because we know. Would they? I don't know. Maybe they would. Maybe they wouldn't. Because remember, in the Matrix, Neo was part of the program. They needed him. They counted on him. It was going to be part. Yeah, there's always the one. You know, it's part of the equation that has to balance itself out. It gets so bad, you got a boom and a bust. You know, boom and a bust, boom and a bust. He was number 6, 7, whatever it was. So I'm going, you know, if they could take out the Ernie early on, would they want to? Or do they need us kind of, you know, showing them what needs to be regulated? You know, oh, thanks for showing that, Ernie. That was my nice y'all. We're going to go ahead and we got a law. So it's you don't know. And a lot of times here locally, they were like, Ernie, aren't you worried? I go, you know, the only thing that I'm worried about is if they could see in the future of I'm never going away. And I know where it hurts. You know, it's attacking their legitimacy as a philosophy, as a government, as this whole thing, not as individuals. You know, not this particular office holder or this bureaucrat or this law enforcement guy. All they do is represent a philosophy. That's what I've been attacking, is the philosophy of we need to be ruled. Now, they'll make all kinds of, presentations they want me to go to try and convince me that, you know, people need to be ruled. Throughout history, you've got to be ruled. You know, people aren't people. Yeah, maybe people, but not individuals. Our government was based on the idea, the promise was, is that the government existed to protect the rights of the individual. Worry about that. You know, good for me is good for we. Okay, that was the mindset. You know, I've heard that before. And there's very people that would say that, except when, you know, that's, seriously. They're just parroting what, you know, Rush Limbaugh said on, you know, some program in the bullet point on a 3x5 card that, you know, the RNC or Hannity handed out. You know, like, you guys don't really understand what you're saying. You know, if it's good for me, it's whatever me wants, as long as it doesn't bother you. You know, so I go, good for me, good for we, what does that mean? It means that I get to do whatever the heck I want, as long as I'm not bothering you. They can't grasp that. So what we do is we show them that in so many different ways. I go on and on and on, all the different stories. You know, we used a lot of different things, Second Amendment stuff, raffling off AR-15s in 94 on tax day on April 15th. You know, with the winner being pulled out by Sheriff Mack when he was a sheriff in Graham County on the steps of the main post office as people are going in to pay their taxes. Man, right here. With AR-15, a Mac 90, and SKS wired to a 4x8 sheet of plywood with all the media there. The other person pulling one of the winners, we had three, was Frances Barwood, which was a city councilwoman in Phoenix. They're like, what the heck? Well, you know, it's because who wants to really go at it? Who wants to make a point? Who wants to do some education? Who wants to advocate for freedom open? Who? Which person is that? Well, we're always doing it, but we're not alone. It's just we're creative in how we get everybody involved. This liberty thing, I'll be shocked if we don't get lamestream media so last century coverage on this, because we can. Yep, I'll show you.
Liberty Coin simplifies the process of buying coins and precious metals. No hidden fees, no hard sell, no mystery. Just great prices. In fact, some of the best prices in the nation. And they've become one of the largest gold sellers in the Southwest. I trust Liberty. Visit their Scottsdale store or call 877-888-8052. That's 877-888-8052. Liberty.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love in here today.
Oh. Yeah, let me tell you one of the ways that we were doing that. We were spreading love, the revolution, to Arab Spring, you know, all through the Arabic community, when was it? It was, January or something. I don't know if it was last year or year before. I mean, it's been a while we've been doing this. What happened is when Arab Spring started, I tell you what prompted me to do it. It was when I saw in Tahrir Square in Egypt that they were throwing Molotov cocktails onto the protesters. So here you had the army or the whoever they were, the bad guys doing whatever. They were trying to break ranks with them. They dressed in civilian clothes and ride their camels through and do whatever, and, you know, swording and kind of, they wanted to create violence. And I'm going, no, I remember the Banksy, you know, flower throwing bandit guy. instead of a Molotov cocktail, he's throwing a bouquet of flowers. And I said, man, that is perfect for them. So we got some Arabic translations from Cato Institute, had Arabic and English translation. You know, one page was one page, and it kind of they matched. And it was English on the left, Arabic on the right. And when you read Arabic, you go backwards. Like, you start the back of the book, and you go, you know, from right to left. And so they would have these matched up, and you had the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. On the page that had the Constitution, we did a little mailing label that said, we already tried this in Arabic. We already tried this. Maybe you can do better. But they didn't want to advocate, like, the Constitution will fix anything. Declaration of Independence, Bill of Rights, you know, they're kind of the, you know, nice, healthy bread of the bologna sandwich with the Constitution in the middle. That's my opinion. So we would send that to them along with DVDs that had the Philosophy of Liberty, you know, the stick animation, you know, the black, you know, looking thing. You look it up, Philosophy of Liberty. It's in a lot of different languages, but it wasn't in Arabic. And we had it translated by a guy in Moscow. And it became, you know, the what was on that DVD. And we put it in the PAL format so they'd play regionally there. And we went ahead and had that sent over. Now, all of these revolutionaries that we were trying to create there, they were being exposed to this whole concept of just peaceful, passive resistance. And I found that to be, that's what we needed. And that's what the bad guys did not want. They were, no, we need to have some kind of violence, kind of, you know, kept it peaceful. And they had all the women out there doing, so what are they doing? You know, they're ripping the clothes off and stomping, you know, the girl, I remember the girl with the blue bra, you know, out in the streets and stomping, man, oh, that didn't go over too well. So then they have elections, they go back and forth there. You know, I think the thing that we wanted to do is try and instill in them an idea that you don't need Pharaoh number 300 and whatever, okay, or 76, whatever, who cares? You know, it's one ruler after another, we rule you, we're going to rule you, now we're going to rule you. And if they had the concept that they weren't going to be ruled anymore, well, then I'm going, you know, that's what's dangerous. It's just, it's the illegitimacy of a government. At what point does our government become seen as just illegitimate? Is it when they take all your pensions and your 401ks and they monetize and take and nationalize and take and it's ours and get over it? They monetize the debt to the point to where they just keep printing money to do it and the banks get it first and the inflation starts to hit and they benefit and we don't? You know, at what point do they become illegitimate? Well, in the minds of a lot of people, long time ago. I mean, just philosophically, regardless of, you know, what it looked like on the street. Regardless of, you know, how much prices of housing went up, regardless of how cheap things were to buy and purchase and we could get from, we weren't manufacturing anything, but we still had a high standard of living, regardless, whatever. So what we did is we created a special edition. I want to show this to you. We created a special edition on Freedom's Phoenix called Hariya Phoenix, which is Arabic for freedom, Freedom's Phoenix. So we went ahead and we go, okay, let's go ahead and create this edition, and we'll put all the stuff. Now, at the top of the page, you'll see the top story on Freedom's Phoenix right now, Hariya Phoenix, Arabic for Freedom's Phoenix, postings to the Arabic Facebook page has been blocked. Now, Donna talks about this and says and what we do and so on and how and why and where you can get it, and she showed and did a good job here, because what we do, Freedom's Phoenix, is a mechanism by which we can, you know, exchange ideas and people get to participate and so on. And we're going to be spending more time on monitoring Freedom Forum. At the top, you'll see Freedom Forum. What it is just the comments that are made on various different articles. Then it goes up to the Freedom Forum, and then people keep talking, and they go, ouch, quit it. I don't pay much attention to it, and it was brought to my attention to someone that there was a death threat on there. And it was like, yeah, well, you know, I win the argument by saying I'm going to come and people were going to go lynch you and kind of, all right, boom, banned, done. Next. And the argument they made back to me, they go, yeah, well, Larkin Rose was talking about, you know, the time to resist government was before the cattle car door closed. That's what he was saying. At what point do you resist authority? You know, is it before or after it goes clunk and it locks on the cattle car sliding door? I don't know when before that, but it's definitely freaking before, okay? before the cattle car door goes click and it's locked. It's before then. Before. How much before? That's your own problem. But I vote as before, unless you like taking showers and cyanide. So I'm going, whoa. So we're taking control of Freedom's Forum again. And we're going to be monitoring it. Tiger was just over yesterday. Big chunk of money I got to give him to do some kind of whatever. And we made a bunch of changes. And he's doing some more customization today. But as time goes on, we're going to start taking the Freedom Forum, and it being more, because a lot of sites depend, their traffic depends on a lot of the participation of the people and reading what other people are doing and a lot of people posting and so on, like at Daily Paul. Well, you really got to monitor, keep control, or Ron Paul forums or a lot of the other stuff that got a lot of traffic from the participation of the people. Now, we had that option, but that's not what Freedom's Phoenix did. A bunch of our traffic comes from the front page and our email dispatches and people sharing the articles and emailing their friends and doing that and direct interface with people that are, contact us. We put up their stuff. They get to be a reporter, write letters to the editor. I mean, we get a lot of participation, but Pal and I control what goes on the front page. Now, fortunately, we're very tolerant and wide open radar screen kind of, and the only stuff that we really don't put up is just BS advertisements or something like that, or someone's just trying to get traffic to there by just, scandalous, BS and what's-her-face royal topless pictures, and I don't care. Okay, so we really control the front page. Freedom Forum has been just like people. And then, of course, what happens is always my experience has been in the 90s. What happens is you'll have a popular thread or something. You got, here come the trolls. They got nothing else to do. And a lot of times they're not quite right. And, they've got issues. So it's, I always got to get the last word. I get into this ad hominem thing. It doesn't even address the issue anymore. It's like, well, your mama wears army boots. Whatever, back and forth. And it's just totally, totally useless as an increase in knowledge and understanding of whatever the issues were that were being discussed. It's going attacking someone. Your views have absolutely no relevance because of you used the wrong eyeliner. And I'm going, we're done with that. We're going to start monitoring. We've got the tools in there to do it. And if someone becomes abusive and a bat, boom, I pushed a button. Everything you ever posted, every comment you ever made, every interface that you have with the site goes away. We've been working on this for over a week. So if you want to participate in the Freedom Forum, it's going to be a lot different. Or we just keep it to the comment section and do it. And I got all kinds of tools to do that because I think we're coming into a time that the community is going to start needing this kind of thing to be able to comment and add to the discussion more information, more links, more stuff to a story so that when you click on the mid, that's why we have the mid page. Why do you have this mid page and doesn't just go straight? Because that's where you guys interface with each other and add more information. So we're making it to where you can add more information because we're going to need it. We're going to need more nimble and more participation in different levels. But we're going to monitor it because we can, and it's mine. Never think it's not mine. I'll let you play with it. Here we go. Now, Haria Phoenix, there's someone, the man, does not want us sharing all of this capability with the Arabic-speaking world. We're going to keep following this and find it. Go look at the top story, and you'll see what's going on there. You had no idea, did you?